And we'll spend a little more time here this morning than I would prefer. And Pat, I need an eraser, and I have no idea where they're at. Anybody? Yes, just go get one. I'll have Dada, you can read 1 Corinthians 2. Understanding the word of his grace. By the way, that's where the cycle begins. Does that make sense to you? Up here, as I said last week, we can call this obeying. But some people are highly resistant to the concept of obedience. If you tell them you must do something, even if God himself says it, they just, ooh, I don't like that. So we will use politically correct words. Implementing. Or applying. And what do all those words mean? Same thing. Over here, of course, is going to be growth. Change. Freedom. You continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall... Which means gradually in a lifetime, there ought to be a gradual transformation. Ought to be. Which means you started at one place in 10 years. I'd give everybody about 10 years. You ought to look at Christian life in 10 years, not in 15-minute segments. People can fake it for a year, or you can have bad years. But over a 10-year period, there's not much room for bad. Over here, of course, is the fourth concept, and I want to see how I stated it last week, which is helping others. If you weren't here last week, I would recommend you do something. Go online, listen to the Sunday school, because I'm not going to go back and reteach how your body, thank you, Pastor Koch, is a what? A system. So is the Christian life. Now, we can have problems at many places, but I would say this is an area of problems because maybe we're not getting it. We don't know how to read, hear, and understand. Or we're not applying, implementing, obeying. What's interesting is you can also have a problem here. We're going to come to that right after this. So, Noel, can you read the text? Pastor Koch could, but you got it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Everybody? The cycle of life assumes there is life, not religion. Not praying a prayer, not putting your name in the front of a Bible, it assumes you are alive. The natural man, apart from being born again, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. By the way, that means welcomes. You ever go to some place and you know one thing, you're not welcome. Well, the Word of God ought to find a welcome in our heart. Is that fair to say? If it does not, Houston, we have a problem. Now, we can blame everybody under the sun. Pastor Warren's too mean. Pastor Dada's too nice. Pastor Koch is, I don't know what you can accuse him of. But the bottom line is, we reject what we hear. So, Dada, read that verse again for me. The hardest part for an English speaker is you don't get that neither can. You see, because you've been brought up on Arminianism, many people that are older in this church, and you think that everybody can get it. You can only get it if the Spirit of God opens your eyes. There is no natural man getting it. That's the whole point of 1 Corinthians 2. It says you not only do not get it, you cannot get it. So, when I talk about the cycle of life, let's look at this. It assumes this. And I will tell you, now let's look at John 8. Let's look there real quick, and then we'll finish this off. John 8, verse 39. This is, of course, Jesus dealing with some lovely people that knew they were believers, knew they were God's children, and he begged to differ. And by the way, this is not an accusation to you. But if you ever try to help people, Have you ever wondered why when you keep hitting your head against a wall and you can't ever help them? You cannot help an unsaved person except with the gospel. The worst kind of unsaved person is the religious unsaved person, because they have layers of religion over top of their unsavedness, if there is such a word. All right, in your notes, or in the Bible, John 8, verse 39. I'm just going to drop in the middle of this. They answered, the Pharisees, and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, well, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham, because Abraham was a believer. He obeyed God. He even commanded his family after him. That's Genesis 18, 19, I think. It's pretty straightforward. But now you seek to kill me. Now that's an interesting verse. People that were saying they were believers trying to kill the person they said they believed. Would you say? Now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now for time, we'll skip to verse 33. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because, what? Do you notice the English word? You do not have the ability. That's different than you do not hear. It's you cannot hear. All right, let's go down to verse 47. He that is of God. Here is Jesus' method of assurance of salvation. So, sorry, folks. Please look up here. I was trained in the good Armenian method, as most of the people that except folks that have been saved since I've been here, which is what? Show them in a Bible, pray a prayer, write your name in the front. Here's what Jesus says divides saved and unsaved. Not praying prayers, not names in Bibles, not foolishness. Well, let me ask you a question. Who do you believe? What you have heard or what the Word of God says? Verse 47. He that is of God does what? Ye therefore hear them not. Why? Because you're not of God's word. Now, I just say all of that. Last week we talked about this could be, we called it log jamming. Is that correct? There has to be a reason why we're not growing. It could be we're not understanding. By the way, this cycle of life will only be taught one more time in about 3 weeks. I'm going to drop it after that. Okay? Because I'm not trying to irritate anybody. I'm just trying to factually set things up. When you constantly deal with the person, and that person is constantly doing this, and we're talking not about you need to wear pointy-toed shoes, or you shouldn't wear dresses that show your wrists because those are so sexual. We're talking about direct teaching of Scripture. And people keep doing this? What's the problem? Sometimes it's understanding. Sometimes we don't know how to implement Scripture. That's what we're going to get at today. And let me just say this one. There's a weird connection. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what? Who do you help other people? How do you help other people? Here is one of the log jamming areas. We can have cop-outs. Kids, people are having problems with their children. Pray about it. Prayer won't help you a bit. It's the Word of God, look at me, that delivers you, that frees you, that gives you insight. There aren't substitutes. Now, so I'm going to apply this just for a minute. And I'm not trying to be mean. I think it's funny. One's funny, one hurts me emotionally. When I went to seminary, got my second master's, I was 33. I was in seminary with young guys who were 22. I had been in the pastorate, assistant pastor, and I was a little bit older. I have a question for you. Do you think a 33-year-old that's a pastor learns things in a seminary that a 22-year-old doesn't? 22-year-olds, even in seminary, ask the professor this question. Thank you, Rhonda. And I'm like, who cares what's going to be on the test? This is like going to your doctor, and your doctor says, you need to have brain surgery. And then you think, oh my goodness, And the doctor says, I can perform it. And your next question is, have you done this before? Well, not really. Did you study this in school? Yeah, but I got a D, but I'm feeling good. And we can, and by the way, I watched it on YouTube. Friend, please hear me. The log jamming among Christians, most of the time, assuming a person's a Christian, is here or here. You can't log jam here because growth is actually inevitable. And if it's not inevitable, come back to here. But there's a lot of log jamming right here. Here it is. If you come to a Sunday school class, I don't care who's teaching it, and you assume, like a 24-year or 22 or 23-year-old guy, they want to know what's going to be on the test, and as a 33-year-old, you're thinking, oh my goodness, I got to try to help people. I never asked a professor what was going to be on the test. I was thinking, what am I going to face? What am I going to have answers for? If you are not planning, so I'm going to be mean. This is the only mean thing this morning. If you are not planning on using the exact things you learn, what happens? You tell me. You're hearing and you just kind of back up. Close your eyes and check out. Because you're never planning on. If I came in here this morning and taught you Hebrew grammar, there's not a person in this room who's planning on learning Hebrew. Yes. So what would you do? You'd close your books, and some would sleep, some would check out. Log jamming can happen here because as a Christian, I believe every Christian, see, some of you are still thinking about the old pastor beating you up so you witness to people. Actually, I think witnessing is the same thing as it is just helping people. Because I'm helping people with the word of his grace, which transformed my life, which will transform theirs. And I fully expect every place I go, if I have time with people, they're going to ask me questions. Praying about it is not an answer. They'll ask me normally questions about family. They're having problems with their children. Now, got all that? Let me give you another. This is a heartbreak. Only my wife kind of knows. She wouldn't know either exactly. I grew up Southern Illinois in the Bluffs. High. Now, there's valleys all around, even on our farm. If you walked outside the second farmhouse 30 feet, you'd go down 300 or 400 feet. Just, you cannot walk up like that. You have to walk, if you're a hillbilly, you know, you walk diagonally. I grew up in ravines, hills, woods. Around the ridge, about a mile, was an old farmer I worked for. His name was Max Winicky. Good Irish guy. Mox was the only guy that spoke German in that area, except Dad understood it, I guess. Tiffany, you said Dad still understood and could speak it. He learned it in the war, you know, and after the war he went to school in Austria. But Mox Winicky died. That happens. The people bought his farm, but his farm was a unique farm. It was the Germans controlled not only the farming, they controlled the apple orchards. If you go down there still in Jersey County, you're going to see this short German name, Isringhausen. They own all of the orchards. You know, peach and apple orchards? Max had an apple orchard. The people that came in, what do you do with apples? Collect them? Answer the question. Collect them? No, you produce them to use and to. The people didn't want to do that. Breaks my heart. Bulldoze the trees down. Several hundred acres of apple trees, gone. I'm going to say this to you as mean as I can. If you are saved, and I have to assume that, I should assume that in this room. Part of your problem, the log jamming, is you're never planning on using it with your grandchildren, children, friends, people you meet. But if you're a person that's really following Christ, you can't stuff your pockets with enough stuff because people are going to ask you questions. Especially if they find out, you're weird. What's different about you? And it's not because you wear funny clothing. People really quickly recognize. best compliment ever happened to me in my lifetime. Didn't come from my daughter-in-law. She always calls me grumpy and other words. And, you know, am I grumpy? Probably. I've kind of specialized in grumpiness, Tiff. Years ago, Jenny and I took John and Amy back to the old St. Louis ballpark. And the kids had some kind of a, they could play on the field one day. It was miserable. It was 200 degrees on that field. Oh. We played, and then we went over to a Subway, I think, wasn't it? And we had a meal. And we did something that this guy here, you see this guy? Look over at this guy. This guy and I go out every week. When's the last time you've seen somebody pray? I'm trying to remember. Do you think there are no Christians in this area? Why don't we ever see anybody pray? How many people in the last 20 plus years have we seen pray? Handful? Two or three? Four? Do you understand? Most of our Christianity is a joke. They saw Jenny and I pray with our kids and do the unthinkable. We liked our kids and we had fun with them. A lady walked up to us and said something like, Jenny, you can probably remember it. Said something, the effect is, it's nice to see families that enjoy each other. Have you seen yourself around kids? All right. The log jamming can happen here. Do you understand? You don't, hey, how many of you are going to grow an orchard and just throw the apples away? If you're not planning on learning something to use something, after a while, your entire existence is log jammed. There's no growth, there's no maturity, because you're not planning on using it. All right, I think that illustrates the point. Let's go into your notes. Last week, I quoted this little poem. It's actually just the first portion of a poem. I'm sure that that Rhonda knows now what it is. Right, Rhonda? You didn't look it up, Rhonda? You disappoint me. You always know. This comes from a guy by the name of Rudyard Kipling, The Elephant's Child. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. By the way, up until 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, that's all I ever knew about this poem. It goes over and says this, I send them over land and sea. I send them east and west. But after they have worked for me, I give them all a rest. I let them rest from 9 till 5, for I am busy then, and as well as breakfast, lunch, and tea. This is obviously British, for they are hungry men. But different folks have different views. I know a person small. She keeps 10 million serving men who get no rest at all. She sends them abroad on her own affairs from the second she opens her eyes. 1 million hows, 2 millions wheres, and 7 millions whys. Now, in your notes, what I want to do is do the unthinkable. So what I'm going to do is this morning is I look at the younger Christians and older Christians who never seem to understand what they're reading. We go back to basics. You have to go back to the basics of this. Now, it's not in the notes. I'm going to add this to your notes. You just have to go back to who? Yes or no? You just have to ask. By the way, good readers are always known by one characteristic, not how fast they read. If you read any intellectual reading on reading, you're known by the questions you ask. Poor readers don't ask questions. Good readers are asking questions the whole time in the conversation, because that's where you learn. So we're going to give the questions, but we're going to do this first. We also have to do this. This is a nice Latin phrase, which simply means the negative way. So I'm going to write this up here, and we'll talk about it as we go forward. Read with me, if you would, the notes, please. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? And thou shalt do what? So I have a question. How many times have you heard the God of the New Testament is the God of love? God of the Old Testament is the God of wrath? Guess where the passage comes from that talks about loving God? Folks, that's just fantasies of people not reading the whole scripture. It's nonsense. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus, of course, says this is the first commandment, the first in line, the greatest commandment. The second greatest commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, is found, are you ready? And in the worst book in the Old Testament, Leviticus. I know some of you read it one time. Verse 6, and these words, which I command thee this day, shall be where? We'll talk about that in a moment. What is the heart? Somebody tell me my definition, a biblical definition. It is what? Control and command center of the life, which means if it's in the heart, guess what it's controlling? Everything. Keep thy heart with all, for out of it are the issues of life. Yes. If you have the Word of God in the control and command center of your life, it controls all things. Verse 7, and thou, I think that means, well, we'll get to that in a minute, shall teach them diligently unto thy children. We'd also have to discern, and we will in a moment, what the them is, of course. It's the them that you've already memorized that have already changed your life. Folks, look up here. I'm not going to redraw it. The cycle of life, see, is the issue. Have you ever wondered why parents don't have anything to say to their children? They're not learning anything. They're not growing. They have nothing to say. And you say, Pastor, I'm a newer Christian. Here, take a breath. Start with the Ten Commandments. Memorize them. Meditate on them. Think about them, especially the first two verses, which are the most important. Remember, God doesn't give commandments to unsaved people. He gives them to people He's already redeemed. You know, you don't expect an unsaved person to obey God. And then you have something to begin talking to your children about. Why don't we use the Lord's name in vain? He commands us not to, and He also is going to, there's going to be some consequences to that behavior. Both folks, it just starts right away. Why do we have this cycle of life? You know, we don't gather together on Sabbath because the New Testament gathered together on the Lord's Day, which is Sunday. But the principle is that cyclical nature of life. God started in the very beginning. He blessed that day. By the way, that was before, you know, He did it because He wanted to perpetuate this seven-day cycle. All right. You don't have to be complex about this. Make it simple. But I've had people tell me, I don't know what to say to my children. What have you been learning? How have you been growing? Let's continue. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And then it adds two phrases, which is just telling us even more about how the Word of God is just to impact every piece of our life. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. It controls what you do with your hands. And thou shalt be as frontless between thine eyes. It controls how you look at the world, how you think about the world. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And of course, most people think this. I get a little plaque. I've been in those homes. And they have Bible verses all over. Okay. But that is really not the issue. The issue is the Word of God right here controls everything. Not your emotions. The Word of God, of course. That's what it means to be a believer. Now, I wrote something down here. Right above those verses, I say something happens to our minds, like our minds are playing tricks on us. So I think I will begin with this little story, and then we'll get through with this today, I hope. We will. Something happens to our minds. Have you ever heard something so many times that you think you're doing it? Now, I'm going to make it non-thinking. Males are the absolute worst. Males like to watch sports. So a guy that can't even get out of his chair watches sports. And somehow, in his small brain, he thinks he can play sports. Because? So he watches boxing. Dada over here. Dada is a godly guy except one thing. He has to bow to Manny Pacquiao. And I've heard, I haven't been there, I try to stay away from those gatherings when Manny Pacquiao boxes. Even Dada loses all sense of sanctification. And last night, I understand a Mexican guy named Ruiz knocked somebody in the next week. So I'm guessing, Viva Mexico. My point being is, men fool themselves into believing I can do that because I watch it. Football, baseball. I'm going to ask you an honest question. I love baseball. Have you ever tried to catch up with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball? You get up here at the plate, and before you, it's already in the glove. This guy's gone into the locker room before you let loose. You have to do this your whole life. Folks, there's a bad thing that happens. You can sit in Lake County Baptist for decades and not be doing what's taught, but you think you are. Why do you think this? Because you hear it. So I must be doing it. Now we're going to look at this text. You don't want to fool yourself. Hello? I'll say this, and I might have it later. When I was in St. Louis, I taught one Sunday, one of my favorite things to teach, on loving your children. And I talked about that you need to make your love for your children equal, where one child doesn't think they're the better or the lesser, especially if you got 3 or 4 kids. You have to make it personal. You have to make it verbal. Say it. Hello? All right, somebody raise your hand and tell me right now. I don't want any religion. Why ought you to say you love your children as a Christian? Why?
Because it should be true.
Okay, but there's something beyond that. How about this? The living God tells you. But I'll have people sit out there and nod their head in agreement and not do it. So I taught on this. I think I said it needs to be verbal, visual, equal, and personal. And I even talked about how to do it. A couple months later, I was talking to a lady in the church and I'm so stupid when I'm young. I thought people listened to the Word of God. And I said, sure, I know how your husband, I'm sure he has ways of telling your children that he loves them. And she looked at me and she said, so what's the problem? Now, by the way, I don't think that's the only solution to being a parent. That's one piece. But it is a piece you ought to include in your parenting. It actually is kind of it's more than a piece. It's really the foundation. It's a given. All right, I'm going to move on. Don't think you can beat Manny Pacquiao. And if you get in there with that Ruiz fella, and I'm feeling really good because he actually looks kind of like me. He's got a panzón. I watched him knock the guy around, and I'm like, My problem is I would be gassed after 2 seconds. All right, in your notes. Well, let's start with a who. Well, in the text it says in the King James, thou, and thou means what? You what? No, thou doesn't mean you all. You singular. Correct? So he's not saying, you know, because that's kind of the joke we used to have in the lab. When everybody's responsible, Jim, do you know what? Nobody's responsible. You know, it's not saying, oh, you all just kind of do this if you get around. No, it's you. By the way, I already know Louis does this with his daughters. Big softy. He is as hard as anybody is except around those 2 girls. And I see pictures of him. It's worthless. Totally. It's bad. Anyhow, so you understand the thou is you singular. Everybody understand that? That doesn't mean both parents aren't supposed to do it, but you can't do responsibility in general. I don't know where I learned that quote from, but when everybody's responsible, nobody's responsible. In the lab, as the boss, you had to give people responsibility, or it was like everybody's fault. And then it was nobody's fault. No, you have hematology tonight. You have blood bank. Do it. All right, next. Obviously, we're talking about the parents. Is that correct? Yes or no? And I say, okay, but. Why the but? Well, look at the text carefully. The but assumes something. The parents. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? So it assumes not only you parents, but what? You have a living relationship with the living God and His Word. His Word. I love Awana. I do. I love to see the kids memorize. Sometimes I'd love to see the parents go through the Awana program. Why cannot parents memorize? Or you say, Pastor, I can memorize, but I can't memorize the address. Say that to your girlfriend. I love you, but I don't know where you live, and I don't know your phone number. All right. We move on. So it assumes that the parents are doing this, but there are people who love God with all that they are, and there are people that have taken the Word of God into the command and control center of their life. Deuteronomy says the same. Therefore shall ye lay up these words, these my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontless between your eyes, and you shall teach them your children. Then we go, and by the way, in the via negativa, whose responsibility isn't this? Oh, it's not the schools. It's not the teachers. It's not that. Well, in this case, it's always the youth group leader. He's the bad guy. Now, do you understand via negativa? Yes or no? When you ask who, then you have to ask the opposite. Whose job is it not? Now, do we have a role to play? Yes, we have a role to play. Our main role is education. In all the academic disciplines and Bible, and certainly we have a role to play living the Christian life and living godly lives, and yes, we're the influence kids, but the role of parenting children is? Good luck on that one. In your notes, what? That's the second question. And the what is to do what? You're to teach. Both texts talk about teaching. Let's see. In chapter 6, verse 7, it talks about thou shalt teach them diligently. In chapter 11, verse 19, it says you shall teach them your children. Now, I'm going to say some other things, and I'll get past this quickly. When I say teach, I mean it's from someone to someone. You know, it actually has to start with the parents and go children. It's a from and a to. And some of this will be offensive to people I know, and I'm sorry. It is from parents to children. Everybody agrees with that? Children shouldn't be teaching the parents. It should be from the mature to the immature. And when I say mature to the immature, I mean in every possible way. Here's the tragedy. We now have generations. We're probably third or fourth generation where we have people who are immature emotionally, and they develop immature emotional children. It's like, why does a parent make their emotions the center of their universe and then help their children learn the same? By the way, the very nature of teaching, I'm from the old school. Teacher teaches, students shut up and listen. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. But it ought to be a maturity factor. I hope. Next. And this is very offensive today. From superior to inferior. You say, my children are inferior. Yes, they are. They're children. Yes, and some of you are already bouncing into your religion. Yeah, folks, if you think that we're all equal, we now have children that tell the parents what to do. which basically means this: I'm a mess, rear yourself. No. By the way, do me a favor. Don't ever let anybody you know have children if they're not ready to be a parent, an adult, not an emotional wreck. Children don't fix anything, ever. In your notes, lastly, we are to teach the Word of God or the Word to our children. That's the. Now you say, well, we've dealt with the what? We have to get to the what? The what not. So everybody look at me. I had a parent, used to come here, looked at me and said, after I talked about some of this kind of things, and he said to me directly, well, I'm a Filipino. I don't care what you are. The Word of God is the Word of God. What am I going to say? Well, I'm white. So what? You understand, we teach a lot of nonsense too. Is Filipino culture perfect? About as perfect as white culture in America. You don't pass along nonsense. And don't ever make your children choose between the Word of God and your cultural nonsense. And all cultures have things that are bad and many things that are good. By the way, if you come from a different ethnicity, praise God, pass along every piece of it that's beautiful and good. Leave the garbage in the garbage can. Same with any other culture. All right, how about telling your children, I love you? I'm going to ask white people only. What's the typical? I'm going to ask somebody that I love, Lois. Did your parents say this to you? I'm probably thinking no. Okay? I didn't ask that. I said, did they ever say it to you? Probably not. Why not? Their parents didn't tell them. Culture. Folks, all cultures have their idiosyncrasies. Now, by the way, telling your kids you love them is not a substitute for being a parent. You know, I'm an idiot last night, I got drunk, but I love you. No, I'm not talking that. And yes, in some cases, Lois, you could feel the love from the parents. Always? I don't think so. All right. Oh, I'm just saying this. We all have those. Yes or no? Passing on the sins of your forefathers is not a good thing.
How many cultures do that? You don't say, I love you, you say,
you? Yes. But I want to say this, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. There's also a lot within cultures that put their children on trial for their entire life, and the child never, ever, ever feels accepted and good enough. And by the way, that's theological too. God loves you when? When you get your act together? You see, that ought to be the foundation of it all. Well, but you find parents that do that. You're always on trial. And I will say this, if you grew up in a home, and I know some of you did, chances are that person grew up the same way. So they didn't know how to cut the thing off. So they put you on trial because that's how they feel. All right, we better move on. How? Well, in the text, I think it's in Deuteronomy 6:7, it says you're to teach them diligently. It's not found in Deuteronomy 11, but the idea is implied there. So let me drop this next word. I think another way of saying this might just simply be this. I like this word even better when we're asking the question how. Do you like the word intentionally? Now, it doesn't mean that you have to go home and say, I'm going to teach my children eschatology starting tonight. You know, they're four. But in the sense of, and oh, by the way, one of my professors at Covenant Seminary said something very profound, and he was not my favorite. He was my least favorite. His dad was a farmer, and he said, I learned all of my theology from my dad and the neighbor who was a Christian when we were out in the fields working. They'd stop and those guys would start talking and I'm a kid soaking it up. But you can't sit down and say, pull out your giant print King James Bible. I'm going to teach you the Bible. And the kids are going. Teach the children intentionally. Is that fair? You want to teach some character traits. But again, I say, folks, this requires maturity because, Debbie, I know too many people I have met, they're on trial, they feel on trial, they feel like they're never accepted because that's how they grew up. They pass that right to their children. This is going to require maturity, growing in grace, I hope. All right, next page, please. When and where? Well, we'll start with the via negativa. Remember, the via negativa means what? The negative way. So maybe it's best to notice what the text doesn't say. Boy, I would make people angry. I am very careful when I bring people in to speak, in case you all don't know. In the whole time I've been here, with the exception of one or two people, I am very careful because there's a lot of nonsense taught in certain elements of fundamentalism. Secrets of rearing children. The family altar. I would love somebody to show me that verse, but they don't care about verses. I actually try to bring in people that are going to preach the Word of God, in case you all haven't noticed. In your notes, maybe it's best to notice where and when you don't do this. Let me see how I state this in my notes. I don't even know if I have it in the notes. Oh, here it is. Here it is. How about Christian school? Not that you should learn something contrary, but the Christian school assists, right? Sunday school teachers. Do the Sunday school teachers teach? Yes, and they're a blessing. They assist. Christian camp. My favorite, miracle service. When I was in St. Louis, a lot of the Pentecostal/charismatic/whatever they call themselves today, they had miracle deliverance services for children. That's how you reared your children. Your children were 16, they were on drugs, living like piglets, you have a miracle deliverance service. I would assume that's not the way you teach anybody anything. Family altar. In a family altar, I have yet to meet a kid that grew up with one that liked it. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? They gather around, dad opens the Bible. It's also a terrible form of pedagogy. We'll get to that in a moment. What's the last one? Family camps. We had some folks when I came here that were into family camps in a big, big way. All right, I'm going to do this. Dada, I'm going to borrow you. That's a gift for you, my friend. Dada, bring that with you, please. I'm going to ask you all a question. By the way, I'm teaching you, when you read this passage, I'm not actually teaching you anything about the text. I want you to understand the who, the what, and the questions. And I also want you to do what? Look at me. What is not taught here? Here's the problem with family altar. Point your chair towards me. The poorest form of teaching anybody one-on-one is this. Because it's what? Yeah, and it's personal and you're in space. How about this? Recently, last two Sunday nights ago, I think, I lose track. Some Sunday night recently, we were going to Culver's. And as we were going to Culver's, my wife couldn't go because her mother was here. So she took her mother home. I was going up to Culver's. And as I walked out the door, about the same time, Brian Lex walked out the door. As he walked out the door, I looked at him, well, he can ride with me. I said, you want to ride with me? About the same time, Tom said, yeah, why don't you ride with Pastor? He got in the car. Now, I love Brian. From the moment we left the parking lot over here to the moment we got to Culver's, he talked me to death. But can I tell you something? If we turned our chair this way, tell me what went on in school today. The Bible's form of pedagogy actually works. The form that is taught in a lot of churches doesn't work because it's contrary to just good way of teaching. That's how you teach. Thank you, Dada. Can I ask you a question? Do you understand what I just did? Oh, do you know what he talked to me about? Everything he's learning, he talked to me about the book they're using in, what do you call it? No, Brian's using a book in Sunday school. He talked to me about reading it, doing the questions. We're like, who are you? Now you can do whatever you want. But the way you teach, well, let's get to this. We're not going to get done. Somebody spent too much time in your notes. So then, and really, I want to teach this because what? I want you to see this in a text. I'm teaching the text, but I'm teaching you how to read in your notes. So then, when and where? Here it is, the normal activities and our processes of life. How about this? The day-to-day. Yes, ma'am. Only Vivian could come up with that one. I like that. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, she's, whoo. I don't know where Vivian gets the rottenness from. That's what I can't figure out. I know it has nothing to do with Steve. In your notes, the normal processes of life, the day-to-day, are the normal stuff of life. Saying it all this in a different way. This, of course, is the best form of pedagogy. Using a child's natural what? Do you know what? Do you know how you know when you don't grow and you're not learning? You're not curious about anything. And you know what we do with a child that's curious? Shut up! Put them in front of a television, which just sucks the curiosity out of a person. You see a little kid, they're curious about everything. That's the beauty. Let them be curious. In your notes, impromptu questions. Impromptu, if you don't know the word, off the cuff, whatever term you want to use. Real life activities and events. The obvious implications and applications. Obvious implications and applications. And what are called teachable moments. Now, we're done. We're late. Look at me, and we're finished. We're as far as we're going today. Hey, I could spend weeks on this, but here's the sad thing. Did you actually get what we're doing? Answer the question. I could put you 50 verses behind the paradigm. The who, the what. You got to ask questions of Bible verses. This is how I'm assuming what? In the cycle of life, I'm assuming. It's a false assumption, but I'm going to assume that most of our problems, we're not understanding what we're hearing and reading. I'm hoping you're not a person that's saying, I'm not hearing what God's saying. I will conclude with this. I did have a Filipino that was at least honest with me and said this. I'm not going to do what you teach. I much prefer that kind of behavior. Do you understand that? Now, which basically said, I'm unsaved. I'm staying like I am. They're not here. Don't worry. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. I'm not mad at them, but it was a certain level of honesty as opposed to the person that does the religion and never, ever hears anything. I keep 6 honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. We'll finish up here in future weeks. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time together in Christ's name.